Recently, I gave a talk on what constitutes gambling according to definitions given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, including sports. Srila Prabhupada included idle sports as one of the factors or one of the facets of gambling. A comment came in, as quite an interesting comment on which I'll develop this talk. Comment came in saying that, is Vaishnav sport not oxymoronic? If yes, why did Prabhupada allow wrestling and swimming? How are wrestling and swimming Vaishnav sports? Because they seem to have no spiritual side to them. That's the point. Sports don't seem to be very spiritual. Vaishnav life is smartavya satatam Vishnu, vismartavya najatu chit, to always think of Krishna and never forget him. And sports are proscribed by Srila Prabhupada, well, he says idle sports, proscribed by him because they require someone who's participating in a sport, if serious sports, especially professional sports. You might be just playing for fun. I don't think people play for fun much these days. It's all very serious. Professional sports, I mean, you've got to really focus. And if you don't focus, then you can't succeed. And if you focus on the sport, how do you think of Krishna? Well, Arjuna might have thought the same thing. How can I fight and think of Krishna? Of course, it was relatively easy for Arjuna. Mamanusmara yudhyacha, Krishna told him. Relatively easy for Arjuna because he was looking at Krishna a lot of the time. Maybe when he was up with his bows, he was with his shooting his arrows, he was looking out, but Krishna was there right with him all the time. Plus, it was natural for Arjuna to think of Krishna. But it may be thought, but then it might be thought that, well, if you're doing the temple accounts, how do you think of Krishna? You've got to concentrate on thinking of numbers. But one has to think in the back of the mind, I'm doing this for Krishna. An anecdote that I heard very early in my time in the Krishna Conscious Movement from Mukunda Goswami, that he was once with Srila Prabhupada at an airport, and a woman working there asked Srila Prabhupada, well, what do you believe? What's all this Krishna? What's it all about? It's a common thing that we're asked by members of the public up to the present day, especially in the Western countries. And Srila Prabhupada replied that it's to always think of Krishna. And she said, well, how can you always think of Krishna when you have to work, you have to do so many things? And Srila Prabhupada said, well, it's just like you. You're at work, but you're also simultaneously conscious of your appearance, and if your hair is nicely ordered. She said, yeah, that's true. Typical of women, not to say anything bad about women, but it's typical that they're concerned about their appearance. So it's always there in your mind. It might not be in the front of your mind. Now, maybe the neuroscientists will talk about the different cortexes in the brain and the frontal cortex and different, somewhere in the back of you, at least in the back of your mind. But even more strongly, if one is doing the accounts for Krishna or mending a vehicle for Krishna, Ravi Prabhu, I remember, a new devotee, he's 1970s in London. He came from a family which owned a garage, and he knew the mechanics of vehicles, so He used to spend all day before he joined the movement mending vehicles. And then when he joined the movement, he spent all day mending vehicles. So what's the difference? Well, he was doing it for Krishna, for Krishna's vehicles. So the idea is to think of Krishna. So the oxymoronic, Vaishnav sport. Sport is just for some fun. So how can that be Vaishnav? Vaishnav means to always think of Krishna. And why did... Well, I've given some explanation. I'll go on and give some more explanation. Why wrestling and swimming? To tell the truth about wrestling, I've always said that Prabhupada allowed wrestling and swimming. That is from a reference I got. I heard it once only from Jagat Guru Swami, who was initiated by Srila Prabhupada into sannyas and later became better known as Bhakti Gaurav Narasingha Maharaj, after Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Goswami gave him that name. So he told me in the Brahmachari room, which is just like a little closet in Berry Place, he told me that Srila Prabhupada had authorized wrestling and swimming, and especially wrestling for brahmacharis, he said, because that helps to keep the body tone very strong, which is important for keeping semen. That's what I heard from him. I never heard of anything organized. One time I heard there was some... Was that true? In Mayapur at the festival, there was some wrestling competition, and guess who won it? Brahmananda. Professional, amateur, whatever. He was a teacher when he joined Srila Prabhupada in 1966, and I heard he was also a wrestler, which wouldn't be surprising considering his bodily construction. But I didn't hear anything more about wrestling after that, and it doesn't seem to be a standard thing. We don't hear about the Madhvas versus the Sri Vaishnavas wrestling competition. It's unimaginable. Oh, the Sri Rangam versus Kanchi wrestling. They have competitions, but that's philosophical. That's the sport of Vaishnavas. Not really a sport, because they take it very, very seriously. I mean, we're talking about understanding the absolute truth through scripture. So, but it's something like a sport also, debating contest, you can say. To see, well, especially that's very much part of the Vedic culture. Brahmanas, some of them were into this debating thing, and they'd go around and defeat others. And when they defeat others, then their prestige increases. But Vaishnavas, especially Gaurya Vaishnavas, are not particularly interested in that. Spiritual side to wrestling and swimming. Well, let's see what Prabhupada has to say. He has some condemnation of swimming and some support of it also. By the way, when you say sport, we say Vaishnava sport. Sport, we just like we talk about Krishna's divine sports. It can mean just having a little play. It doesn't necessarily mean an organized sport with rules like cricket or soccer or something like that. Yuktahara viharasya. Vihara means some kind of activity for recreation. Okay, here's a statement from Srila Prabhupada in a talk on April 22nd in 1976 in Melbourne. Or Melbourne, or in Australia, where they're really into sports, Australian people, and really into the beach, which means swimming and surfing, and sometimes getting attacked by sharks and maybe crocs. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada said in Melbourne, or Melbourne, depending on where you're from, in 1976. Just like nowadays, people are very fond of diving within the water and swimming. This has become a fashion. Yeah, I, as far as I know, that was not a very traditional thing that people did. That people did. Swimming seems to, I haven't researched it, but it seems to be a fairly modern kind of recreation to swim long distances or even to swim at all. So Prabhupada continued, next life they're going to become a fish. A fish, yes, because yangyang vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevaram. If at the time of death you think of that, how to swim very nicely within the water, that means next life nature will give you a fish life. You get it. That is God's mercy. Why should you artificially try to become a fish? Become become actually a fish. That is nature's gift. So you'll get yang yang vapi smaran. That is, this is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Because whatever we practice in our life, so that concept of life, that imagination continues. Srila Prabhupada, seeing some surfers in California or Hawaii or wherever, he referred to them not as surfers but as sufferers, and said that they will become fishes. Here is a quote from a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1975. We are not interested in these things like hatha yoga and swimming. We do not encourage such useless activities. Sounds pretty absolute. However, reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, volume 5, when Srila Prabhupada was encouraging devotees in Vishakhapatnam, which is on the beach, the Bay of Bengal. He encouraged, especially they were staying in Bhaktivaiva Puri Maharaj's ashram for a few days, and it's just right on the beach. It's one of his two ashrams in Vishakhapatnam. Just, you walk over the other side of the road and there you are on the beach. And so you can go swimming. And Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to go swimming. And the devotees asked, well, isn't that Maya? How do you think of Krishna? Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya used to go swimming all the time. He used to play ball. So you can go and swim. Just make sure you remember Krishna. Now, there are in Chaitanya Charitamrita references to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's water sports. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita we get different moods. There's a very strong mood of pathos in Lord Chaitanya's separation from Krishna. But there are also, especially the honoring prasadam anecdotes, and after the gundicha cleaning, and at other times, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go with his associates to Narendra Sarovara or Indradyumna Sarovara and just lark around in the water. In his earlier life, this was after he took sannyas, in his boyhood, he would sport around in the Ganga for hours on end, in the Ganga in Navadvip. And then one time he floated down, he had Nitai take the form of Ananta Shesh, and he as Vishnu floated on the Ganga down to Shantipur. So, yeah, there we go. The Lord lies on the water, right? As Kiradakshai Vishnu, the ocean of milk, actually. And then Garbhodakshai Vishnu and Karnadakshai Vishnu, they're lying on the water, enjoying themselves. So Srila Prabhupada encouraged Prabhupada at that time. Reading again from Prabhupada Lilamrita, Nanda Kumar quoting that Prabhupada said, "The sun is there, Krishna is the light of the sun. The ocean is there, Krishna is the taste of the water. You are surrounded by Krishna. How can you forget Krishna? He is all around you. How can you forget Krishna?" Srila Prabhupada asks. Well, I think I can speak for most of Prabhupada's disciples in saying it's very easy for us to forget Krishna. For Prabhupada, not so. So, Srila Prabhupada approved of swimming, maybe in moderation, not that we have to become great swimmers. Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport in the third canto, "Sometimes the demoniac arrange for so-called sports like tennis with the opposite sex. The purpose of such sporting is to see the bodily construction of the beautiful girl and enjoy a subtle sex mentality." More about tennis. This is from a conversation. One tennis professional, Peter Burwash, he was, I guess he's quite old, probably retired now, highly successful international tennis coach with franchise all over the world, Peter Burwash tennis coaching. He was a follower of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada encouraged him to continue with that, with teaching tennis. And Srila Prabhupada even gave him a whole coaching session on how to run his business. Srila Prabhupada had a lifetime of experience in business. So discussing this, one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, This idea of teaching tennis is actually a good platform for preaching, because the people in America are so eager to learn how to play tennis. If they can tell all their customers, now if you want to play tennis very good, you have to follow these four rules, that will help you play tennis. I don't think Peter Burwash tells people they have to follow the four rules, but no doubt he encourages them, at least subtly, by letting them know that he's a vegetarian. Srila Prabhupada responded to this. This tennis, not exactly like this, but this ball throwing. You see in the Bhagavad, the queens of Krishna on the roof, they are playing ball, throwing ball. That was a form of exercise, of course, for the high-class kings and queens. The ordinary man is working all day. He hasn't got the time to take to sporting, but queens, they have nothing to work. So on the roof of the palace, they are playing this ball, this kind of tennis. So there's a point that Srila Prabhupada makes, that the ordinary working man, he doesn't do exercise because he's physically engaging his body most of the day, which is what most people did. And even people who had more sedentary occupations, like a brahmana, he may, just like Sri Ramanuja Acharya, he would walk from the temple area in Sri Rangam every day, carrying a big pot, and then walk to the Kaveri, which is at a distance of about a kilometer. It may have been a little different in those days, but about a kilometer. Fill up the pot with water and carry it back, for the bathing of the Lord, which is quite a physical activity. He wasn't doing it as exercise. I'm just making the point that he automatically got exercise by doing that. And also, it may not. There's this idea that you have to really exercise, do a lot of exercise. But it may not. I don't know who's, maybe scientists have looked into this, but it's not that some living beings, like dogs, they're quite active physically. Well, they also lie around a lot and sleep a lot. But when they're up, most of them, they're quite active. But there are some, like cows, you don't see them jumping around. When they're young, yeah. But otherwise, they've just got their head down most of the day and they're chomping away on the grass. So It's not that they do any particular exercise. They just walk around a little bit, that's all. They don't... Running, hardly, you'll see. Python just can sit in one place, literally, just in one place for days and days without hardly moving at all. So it may not be that you require, that humans require so much exercise. It may be different for different people. Like the Brahmanas who are studying, they didn't do so much exercise. The people in the shops, they just sit there all day. I'm saying traditionally. Srila Prabhupada noted, or he said that in their school they used to play soccer, and he would take the position of goalkeeper, so he didn't have to run around. He said that the Gurukul children, they could kick a ball around. I don't know if that was meant to be organized soccer matches, but just the idea, kick it around. Yoga, what about yoga? That was becoming a big thing in the 1960s when Srila Prabhupada was in the West first. And it's continued to be a big thing and continues to be a big thing. And we have whole books made from Srila Prabhupada discussing about yoga. Yoga is generally understood to mean physical exercises in the modern world, not in the Bhagavad Gita. The usage of the word yoga there is quite different. Okay, I'm going to read from this, probably from Prabhupada Lilamrita. Boston, 1968, Bob asked, "Don't you need to practice Hatha Yoga in order to purify the body so that eventually you can purify the higher self within?" So actually, yeah, that is the purpose of Hatha Yoga, to purify the body with the aim of making it prepared for spiritual practices. Srila Prabhupada replied, "Cleanse the mind and the intelligence, and the body is automatically cleansed. Hatha yoga is for those in the gross bodily concept of life." In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that a wise man doesn't place much importance on the body. The Hatha yogi's main concentration is this body. By bodily exercise, he wants to have Krishna's love. If this were possible, all wrestlers and athletes would have achieved Krishna's love. Lord Chaitanya's program of chanting begins with the cleansing of the mind, and this takes care of cleansing the body. I just qualify that a bit, because the Hatha yogis, Prabhupada said by bodily exercise, they want to have Krishna's love. Well, Hatha yogis mostly are not thinking of Krishna's love, but the point that Srila Prabhupada is making, that they think that by Hatha yoga, they will make spiritual progress. And the spiritual progress means ultimately to come to the level of loving Krishna. But as Prabhupada notes, the athletes and wrestlers, you don't see, it doesn't automatically come that they become lovers of Krishna. So now we're getting into the realm of exercise, sports as exercise, or exercise in general. Quoting from Pradyumna, Srila Prabhupada's longtime Sanskrit assistant who traveled with Srila Prabhupada extensively, Pradyumna related, "One time in London, Nanda Kumar was very concerned with health, eating the right things, and exercise. He was Prabhupada's servant, and he was also cooking for Prabhupada. So while he was massaging Prabhupada in the morning, he popped a question. 'Prabhupada, I feel I need to do some kind of exercise for my body. Isn't it good for a devotee to get physical exercise? Can we do yoga?' Prabhupada said, 'Yes, you can do what is it called? He got down on the floor and did a full shaky push-up. Prabhupada said, "What is it called?" Nanda Kumar said, it's called a push-up. Prabhupada said, you can do that. It's good for a brahmachari. And then again, remember Jagadguru Swami had told me about the wrestling. Prabhupada had said is good because it gives bodily tone, which is good for brahmacharis. We see that Hanuman is famous as a brahmachari, and the wrestlers in India traditionally are the people of bodybuilders. There is a tradition of bodybuilding in India also, not for the high-class Brahmins, but some people have to do fighting. The Akaras, for instance, in Puri, they worship Hanuman, the brahmachari, as being such a strong body, Bajrangbali, who's got a body like a thunderbolt. So Srila Prabhupada said push-ups also, because that's, as far as I understand, I'm not a great expert in all these matters, but there are two basic kinds of exercise, aerobic, anaerobic, but there's also one kind of exercise is builds the muscles of the body, another one stretches. So the making the muscles stronger, that is good for brahmacharis to help keep the semen, so we're told. Nanda Kumar himself, so this push-up also falls in that category of being good for brahmacharis, as is wrestling. Nanda Kumar himself relates, when I first moved into the temple, I ate whatever prasad was served. Then I became Prabhupada's cook, so I had a kitchen and I could prepare what I wanted. I had come from a Southern California raw food background and I started eating salads and fruits and simple food, but I wanted to make sure that I was not going against what Prabhupada wanted. Very nice, very good for a disciple. One day I decided to ask him about a raw diet as opposed to taking prasadam. He said, actually, a raw diet is the best diet for Krishna consciousness. It's simple. It keeps your body healthy and clear. So you see that we see the descriptions in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere. The yogis or the vanaprastas, they go to the forest and they just eat roots and fruits and a very simple raw fruit diet. So Srila Prabhupada continued, we don't tell the masses about it, because most people can't follow it, and we don't want them to get distracted from Krishna. But if you can do it, it's the best diet for your Krishna consciousness. Nanda Kumar continues. Also, one of the things that I had to give up when I moved in the temple was Hatha Yoga. Everyone told me that Hatha Yoga is included in Bhakti Yoga, and I didn't need to do Hatha Yoga. I only needed to dance in Kirtan. I was stubborn about that for a while, but when I moved in the temple, there was no time for it and no place to do it. Then when I got to be with Prabhupada, I started doing it again. In the mid-morning, before cooking for him, I went in the backyard and did some yoga asanas, but I wanted to make sure it was okay. After I'd been doing it for 2 or 3 days, I had full intent to ask Prabhupada about it that day, but when I brought his lunch plate in, he said, I see that you're doing yoga exercises in the yard. I said, yes, sir, because Nanda Kumar would address Srila Prabhupada as sir, which Prabhupada liked. Yes, sir, I was going to ask you about that. The devotees told me that that's not bona fide, it's not our process. Actually, Prabhupada said, these exercises are very good for your health. We don't want anyone to become distracted, so we don't teach it. But for you, it's very good, and I encourage you to do it. A short time later, we were taking a walk in a park in San Diego when someone was doing a headstand off in the distance. Prabhupada looked over and said, oh, this is Shirsasan. That's very good for the health. There are so many of these exercises, Shirsasana, Yogasana, Padmasana, that are very good for the health. With a bit of sarcasm towards yoga, an elder godbrother said, so we should do this every day, Prabhupada? Prabhupada didn't answer him, but just kept walking. Oh, sounds like the lizard is into yoga. Prabhupada didn't answer him, but just kept walking. When he finally got back to the car, Prabhupada turned around and said, it's not necessary. I remember what Prabhupada had told me, and I realized that Prabhupada was answering the mood of the question. The real idea here is that whatever is good for your Krishna consciousness is do it. Whatever is not good, stop it. Nanda Kumar elsewhere relates that Srila Prabhupada had said that, do whatever is good for your Krishna consciousness. Of course, distributing delicious prasadam is very good for spreading Krishna consciousness and attracting people to Krishna consciousness and keeping people in Krishna consciousness. But simple food is good. Srila Prabhupada's regular diet, chapati, dal, rice, sabji, simple, plain, and balanced and healthy. That's another whole topic, diet. But anyway, the point is, what is required for health? Here's a quote from Satswarup Das Goswami. He, Srila Prabhupada, told us that if people were practicing yoga for health, they were not practicing yoga but were exercising. Yoga only referred to spiritual practice. But then again, we see Prabhupada wasn't against exercise per se. Again, continuing. Satsrup Maharaj, when the devotees took to practicing Hatha Yoga as a health measure, Prabhupada didn't say much, but he definitely discouraged us from practicing Hatha Yoga as a form of meditation. He was firm on this point. Neither did he allow us to study any books on yoga that were not Krishna conscious. This is a very important point because yoga is largely connected with the impersonal attitude in spiritual life. Doesn't have to be. There is also the Vaishnavas also, Sri Vaishnavas, traditionally practice yoga, some of them. It's not mainstream in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, but some do. Even in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's stated that one should, before performing japa, one should do pranayama. But I don't think Sanatan Goswami, who compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas, he himself did it. We don't have any record of that. But he compiled so many things in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's panoramic for all different kinds of Vaishnavas at different levels and different lines. Myself, I do take time out to do exercise every day, because if I don't, I just can't continue in my service, because my service, like so many people in the world today, is largely sedentary, sitting in front of a computer, working on writing books or preparing talks like this one. And if I don't get up every so often and stretch the body, and if I don't do some regular daily exercises, including some yoga stretches, among other things, then I tend to get serious problems with the body, as I did last year. I had serious problems which lay me flat. Literally, I was bedridden for months. So it makes sense to invest some time daily in keeping the body fit enough to perform one's service, rather than just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and ignoring the pain. But then even if the pain comes at night and you can't sleep properly, then you can't think properly to do your service. So I do some exercise every day, and I take that as yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapnava bodhasya yoga bhavati dukaha. General instructions by Krishna that one should be moderate or regulated in one's eating, not to eat too much or too little. Natyashnatastu yogosti nachaikanta manashnata. One should not eat too much. Na swapna shila bodhasya. No, one should not eat too much or sleep too much, nor too little. Yoga bhavati dukkha. Then one should be regulated in one's eating. Vihara means, it's a broad term, recreation. It can be translated as recreation. Vihara so yukta che, in one's activities, there's time of day for doing certain things. Balanced life. The whole idea is a balanced life. One can practice yoga in this way. So not fanatical about exercises. Some people need more than others. Some people have very big, strong bodies which require a lot of exercise. Just like I said, you see, some animals are very active and some are by their nature, by the way God made them, not so very active. And some humans are very active and some less so. Anyway, as Srila Prabhupada said when he was talking about swimming, make sure you remember Krishna. That's the whole thing. That's the whole point. If for performing service in Krishna consciousness one requires to do a little exercise daily, then do it. If you don't, if you're working in the fields on Krishna's farm, and you're dancing in kirtan, we don't dance in kirtan for exercise, but automatically it comes like that, then you may not need to. It requires a little common sense. So there are the few words about Vaishnav sports and exercise. It's not something that we need to dilate on at great length, but it's one of those many, many, many things that come up, can be discussed and understood. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Vancha Kalpatarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patita Anam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dante Nidhaya Trinakang Padayone Patya Kritvacha Kakushatam Etad Aham Bravimi He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charne kurutanu ragaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumukaro navayang vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.